We're up to the 11th chapter of Shaar Avodat Elokim, page Resh Nun Zayin. Atan Avera Chepet Sheyeh Misibat Ahava. Now we're going to discuss desire that stems from love. V'yipared L'Shlosha Rashim. And really we divide it into three types. Echad, L'Sibat Ahavat Olam Haba. A person can desire to do mitzvot because he loves the world to come. That's his drive. Shenit Ahavat Olam Hazeh. Secondly, is a person who loves this world. Shlishi Ahavat Achin. The third is one who loves finding favor in the eyes of his Creator, finding grace in the eyes of his Creator. Ahavat Olam Haba Rebuta En Nesheir. Loving the world to come, so you can't estimate its pleasantness, V'kiuma En Lagbil Emor Ad Po Tavo. And you can't limit its existence and say it's only this far. V'godel Aplagat Arivut Olam Haba Matzana Mevoar B'divrei Hanaviim U'B'divrei Rabbeinu Zichronam Levracha. K'ma'amar Marav Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta Lireyecha. The greatness of how pleasant the world to come is, we find in the prophets. They say, wow, what greatness Hashem holds out for those that fear Him. V'amru zichronam levracha, kol hanavim kulam lo itnabu ela lemesi bito latalmid chacham. The Talmud tells us in Brachos, all the prophecies about good things that are yet to come are talking about someone who marries his daughter off to Talmud Chacham, av l'talmidei chachamim atzmam. But what does the Talmud Chacham stand to gain in the world to come? Ein lo ra'ata Elokim zulatecha. No prophet ever saw it. So the pleasantness of the world to come is beyond anything we can fathom. And the Mishnah tells us a moment of pleasantness in the world to come is better than all the good you had in this world. So put together all the ice cream and chocolate and all the good things you could think about in this world. Think of having a great steak. Think of having a great pizza. Think of all the fun, fantastic things. Winning the presidency, winning the Olympics, any good thing, any fun thing you could think of. Going from the sweltering heat into a beautiful cool pool, going from the cool pool into a hot sauna, sitting on the beach sipping your margarita, whatever it is you think is good in this world, put it all together, a whole lifetime of goodies, and it doesn't equal a minute, the Mishnah says, of the world to come. Hitbonena b'dvarim eile, ki yafa sha achat ba'olam haba mikol chayei olam hazeh. So analyze this for a minute. A minute in the world to come is better than the whole life on this world. Gam im chay chayim neimim b'tanugot doliot v'tovot. Even if he had a pleasant life and had all the amenities you could think of. Al tzad ha'yoter nifla, and you could imagine what an amazing life, right? Mikol shiken mishu b'olam hazeh nedar mikol tov. How much more so someone who lives in this world and he doesn't have all those goodies. Umshulal mikol tanug. He doesn't have all those pleasantries. And he's working hard. He's wiped, covering his costs. He sweats to bring bread home. So if you think about it for a minute, you say, okay, so I'm not getting all the goodies in this world. I can't say I'm living it up, right? So I still have access to the key to that treasure of goodness that's yet to come. Uvivchirati levad yesh leil yadi lakachat leatzmi. And that's a benefit, that's something good which I can attain. Steaks, I don't know. I personally like American steaks, haven't seen them sold here in Israel. So there are certain things you can't attain. There are certain things that you say, can I afford that? Can I afford the amenities of this world? But here's something which is accessible. And that's a phenomenal concept if you think about it. Lemalot amtechotai velaset al shichmi ki koltuv adoni biyadi hu. I could fill my sacks, carry it on my shoulder. All the good of my master is within my reach. Lesof mimenu kol asher uchal set. I could collect as much as I can carry. It's up to me. Yeah. Okay. Okay. He didn't address that. All he's saying is, even if you have all the good in this world, there's something better to be had. Well, the more so most people who don't have all the good in this world, they should think for a minute, hey, wait a second, I could get something that's much better and that is accessible to me. as far as living it up in this world or not living it up in this world. So there's a Tosfos in Brachos that Tosfos says, we'll quote the full story.
Do we have a Gemara Brachos here?
No. Okay. So it says, we have an Ein Yaakov in Brachos. It says in the Gemara in Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan was once visiting, I think it's Rabbi Elazar, let's see. There we go. He was visiting his disciple Rabbi Elazar, and he sees that his disciple Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas is weeping. So he's sick at home in this dark house, crying. And Rabbi Yochanan looks at him and says, "Why are you crying?" So it seems from the continuation of the story that Rabbi Elazar was lying on his deathbed. He was deathly ill. And so Rabbi Yochanan asked him, "Why are you crying?" Because you didn't attain enough Torah. Rabbi Elazar was not really the top disciple of Rabbi. Rabbi Elazar was not his top disciple. He was his top disciple after Reish Lakish passed away. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Elazar, "You feel you didn't learn enough Torah?" "No, God doesn't judge us based on how much we learned. He judges us based on did we do the best we could have done." So that's a Mishnah in the end of Menachos. God doesn't say he brought a sacrifice that's an animal. The other guy only brought a flower sacrifice. This one paid $1 million. This one paid $5. Doesn't matter. You do the best you can. So if that's the best you can, that's not a reason to cry. If it's because you've been living a really tight life, you don't have all the food you'd like, so not everyone merits to get everything, to have both tables, to have a table full in this world and the world to come. And if because of your kids, that you lost your kids, and then the Gemara goes into how we comforted him about what happened to him. So Tosfos points out, what did Rabbi Yochanan tell Rabbi Elazar? He said to him, "Are you crying because you didn't have it, you don't have it good enough in this world?" Not everyone merits to have it good in both worlds. So Tosfos says there were those who had the version that says no one merits to have it good in both worlds. Says Tosfos, that's not true. That's an incorrect version of the Gemara. There are people who have it good in both worlds. And then Tosfos gives us examples. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he had it good in both worlds. So Tosfos says there are those who do and there are those who don't. And that's going back to your question. If a person has it good in this world, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a terrible person. Could be he's a fantastic person and he still has it good in this world, and that's his challenge. A person has to ask himself, maybe I do have to think that I'm eating up my portion in the world to come. But he also has to realize that maybe that's my challenge. How will I use the assets that I've been given? Some people have that challenge. They were born into a wealthy family. Not his fault, okay. He's born, he got a check for $50 million. He did his bar mitzvah, another $50 million. He got married, $150 million. Now he looks at his bank account and says, what am I supposed to do with all this? So that's your responsibility. You have to know how to allocate it correctly. So the Magid Midovna says this is something that a person can psych himself out for. And a person can think about this, and then that can be part of his drive, and he's beginning a thought. Obviously, like every point we've learned in the Magid Midovna, it has to be taken with balance. As we know, the Kuzari stresses, we are not a people whose focus is on the world to come. It can be a drive, it can be a part of a person's life, but it's not the focus of life. And we're going to see, as the Magid Midovna takes us through this aspect of developing one's enthusiasm for doing the service of Hashem, it is one angle. And we'll see, Bezat Hashem, next time.